The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Some Pharisees and Herodians were sent to Jesus to ensnare him in his speech. They came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you are not concerned with anyone's opinion. You do not regard a person's status, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or should we not pay?" Knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." They brought one to him, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They replied to him, "Caesar's." So Jesus said to them, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." They were utterly amazed at him. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Well, they say that in polite company, there's two subjects you should avoid: religion and politics. So I thought this morning I would talk to you a little bit about religion and politics, okay? Because in the gospel here, we hear the story of the Pharisees and the Herodians coming to Jesus, asking him about the temple tax. So Pharisees and Herodians were representative of the whole authority within Israel. They represented the opposite ends of the political spectrum. You can almost think of them as like Republicans and Democrats, because on one side you had the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were strictly religious, deeply traditional, and absolutely unchangingly separatist with regard to the Roman authority. They wanted absolute independence from Rome. On the other side, there were the Herodians. They were so named because of their loyalty to the puppet king Herod Antipas. And they were loyal and cooperative and flexible with Rome, and therefore flexible with their religion as well. So the Pharisees and the Herodians hated each other, but they hated Jesus even more. Okay, so they come to Jesus today like he's a candidate for political office with a gotcha question. Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? And they figure now they got Jesus pinned down between the people and the government. Because if Jesus says that it's unlawful to pay the census tax, then he opposes the Roman Empire, and they would love that. But if Jesus, I'm sorry, if he says that it's unlawful to pay, then he opposes the Roman Empire, and they would love that. But if he says they should pay the temple tax, then the people are against him, and they would love that too. But Jesus avoids the trap entirely, and he raises the entire level of the discussion, saying the last thing they would ever expect to hear: give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. So what belongs to Caesar? That which bears Caesar's image. And what belongs to God? That which bears God's image. Because stamped onto every silver Roman denarius coin was an image of the emperor Caesar Tiberius, with the inscription, "Caesar Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus." And that's why the Israelites hated paying the temple tax, because they thought that it was blasphemous, this divine Augustus on the coin they had to pay. But that's on the coin. That's the image of Caesar. You and I, however, we were made in God's image. Everybody who heard Jesus speak knows that he's referencing Genesis 1, verse 27. He made them in his own image. All of us, even Caesar. The state can lay claim to a paltry piece of metal, but God lays claim to your soul. That's why the authority of government is limited. It's subsumed underneath the ultimate authority of God. And Jesus warns his followers, do not give your unconditional allegiance to anyone or anything. That belongs to God himself. Ideally, all authority comes from God. It's a subject I'd love to talk about at length. People always say the authority comes from the consent of the governed. People always say the authority comes from the people. That's not really true. Authority comes from God. Here's why. What if enough representative group of the people want to do something that's immoral? I think your classic example of that would be, say, Germany in the 30s. Does it therefore become good just because the people want it? And you have to admit the answer is no. There's a right and a wrong out there. And it exists whether people realize it or not. It's not determined by popular vote. That's the authority of God. Now, the job of the government is to see that and to recognize that and try to codify it into laws. Ideally, government operates with God's own authority. You see this on Good Friday. Jesus stands before Pontius Pilate, the king of heaven and earth, stands before a paltry local Roman magistrate, because Jesus recognizes that God's own authority has been delegated to man. You would have no authority over me, Jesus says, unless it were given you from above. But what happens when that authority is misused? When people vote for themselves that right is wrong and wrong is right, that good is evil and evil is good. What happens? Society falls apart. And are we not seeing that all around us right now? It's why, controversially though it may be, it's absolutely true that all politics is ultimately about religion. All government is ultimately about God. What's right? What's wrong? What's good? What's evil? Do we recognize it written into the nature in which we live, or do we try to foolishly make it up for ourselves? It's also why the answer to our deepest questions and our deepest perplexing problems in society and in government, they don't come from the right or from the left. They come from above. And we will suffer the consequences until we learn that. Saints Marcellinus and Peter, perfect saints for today. They were two Roman martyrs who would not bend the knee and declare that Diocletian was God, the Emperor Diocletian. They would not give to Caesar that which belongs to God. Let's learn from their example and ask for their prayers for ourselves and for our country. Saints Marcellinus and Peter, pray for us.